Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. Again in the studio is Tony Fitzgerald from, and you've been everywhere. You've been in Australia, you've lived in England, you've lived in South Africa, you're living now in Richmond, Virginia. Where's next, Tony?
Richmond, Virginia.
Richmond, Virginia. Welcome. Yeah. It's so good to have you back with us.
We've been in Richmond 32 years now, 31 years or something.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, you're a true spiritual father to so many. You've been a great blessing in my life. And you have a revelation of the kingdom of God, and you share some of that in other podcasts. We want you to go deeper today. We want to hear, I just want to ask you some questions about how you see the kingdom, because I believe you have insights that help us, even in leadership. This is a leadership podcast, how to be kingdom leaders. You know, how do we do that? What's that look like? And obviously, it's relational. It's fathers and sons. But I'm just going to open the door for you, and you just jump right in. Let's talk about the kingdom of God, fathers and sons of the Lord. What does that look like?
Wow, yes. Well, thanks, Larry, for having me on again. It's always great.
Great to have
any
you
way
back.
To serve you and to be with you. You're
Thank
very
you.
Special. You and Laverne in both Marilyn and I's lives. So it's great to
well,
share
we're
this with
to
you.
Be your friends, we sure
And
are.
Really just love Dove. So it's wonderful.
But by the way, we're both going through something similar right now.
We are.
You're in the process of succession.
Yes.
Someone taking your place with Church of the Nations, which you were the founder many, many years ago, back in the 70s. And, of course, in 1980, Dove started, and it's now 43rd year, next year 44 years with us. And we're going through that whole succession process.
Yep.
So I think a revelation, understanding of the kingdom really helps us even with understanding how succession even works, you know, for the glory of God.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's go for it. The door is wide open, Tony Fitzgerald.
Okay, thanks, Larry. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, as we know, that Jesus came and came with a message on his heart eventually and told us to preach that message, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he came with a mission to bring the kingdom this way.
Right.
And his whole desire is to see on earth the king's rulership in the same way as it is in heaven.
In every realm of society.
Every realm of society. Yeah. Every realm of society. Until one day, I believe, as John Wesley put it, everyone on the planet alive at that time could be lifting holy hands and celebrating the king.
Amen.
However all that plays out, I don't know how to cross every T and dot every I on how end times are going to work out. But do live with a victorious eschatology at least, that we win and God called us to win. And so I often say to our leaders and to people in general, you haven't really crossed over into the kingdom till you can make a similar statement to what that was about Jesus, until you can go into your place of employment on Monday morning or to your school or your college or wherever you are, and say, for God so loved this place, he gave it me.
That's good.
And I'm a seed of the kingdom sown here. Because everything about the kingdom starts with seed. It doesn't start with finished product. That's what doesn't make it so attractive in a lot of modern day church, because we live today in an age of the instant, and everyone wants everything instantly. So it always starts, everything about, I could put it this way, he may well be listening to this podcast, so I'll say it together with a young businessman that I work with. He was talking to me over the last bit how I've been with him since day one of the business.
Yes.
But the business has grown, others wanting to get attracted to it, other companies wanting to join. And so he said, it's been great, you know, the whole journey of it. And I said, well, that is the gospel of the kingdom right there. All those years ago, we sowed a seed.
Right.
And the Bible says that when a seed of the kingdom is sown, it's like a mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
And one day it eventually grows into a tree.
Right.
And when it grows into that tree, it says it a bit different in other ways as well, but into that tree, all kinds of birds come and find shelter and shade in that tree. And I said, your business started as a seed.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's grown. the integrity of the company, everything else around it, everything else is going. Others are wanting now, are finding shelter.
Beautiful.
In the branches of that.
Beautiful.
So it's grown from just being a seed mm-hmm. to being a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I believe the kingdom differs some from the church. The church is a driving house of the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
but not everyone who gets shelter in the kingdom is necessarily in the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's wider. It's a bigger, wider thing. The church is where the government rests.
Mm-hmm.
And so in neighborhood, even unsaved people, where we live, where we work, should find shelter around the kingdom because we live in a neighborhood.
Right.
The neighborhood ought to be a bit better off. If we have a church in a community, a suburb, it ought to be better off because we're there. God's sown us a seed to bring change. And so in that, you know, development, we just encourage everybody to see themselves a seed and to continue to be a seed. In the parable of the sower, as we refer to it, and the parable of the wheat and the tares, both in Matthew, in other as mm-hmm. well, but in Matthew, where it is a chapter of the parables of the kingdom.
Right.
In those two parables are two very significant, or one most powerful truth, and it's in the seed. In the parable of the sower, the seed, the Bible says, was the word of God.
Right.
And it said, when you deliver the word, there's rocky soil, hard soil, thorny soil, good soil.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if we have a chance to preach somewhere, if we get 25% good soil, fairly much statistically okay. But whatever, you know. But when you move over to the parable of the wheat and the tares, the world is the same. The ground is the same. It's the world.
Mm-hmm.
The sower is the same. It's the Son of God and us with him, you know, implied in there. The thing that's different is the seed.
Mm.
In the parable of the wheat and the tares, the seed is the word of God. In the wheat and the in the parable of the sower, in the parable of the wheat and the tares, the seed are the sons of the kingdom. That really affected us very deeply. Some people believe if we just get the word out enough, the world will change.
Okay.
If that was so, the world will be totally changed now.
Right.
We have the word out in all kinds of ways.
Sure.
This way that we're doing right now.
Correct.
TV, radio.
Right.
Everything online. You know, everything you could imagine, the word's out there everywhere.
Mm.
But the world hasn't particularly changed.
Mm.
Why? Because the word primarily goes out to give birth and then to equip sons or people to become sons of the kingdom. But the harvest comes in the parable of the wheat and the tares when those sons are sown. And what has happened in a lot of modern day, particularly Western Christianity, is we've got the word out, people have got saved, but they've never been raised and sent a seed to be planted.
Okay.
So they go to church.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the church in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
They get up on Sunday and say, hey, we've got to go to church.
Right.
Where I understand that because it's only splitting phrases in some ways. But really our heart position will be the church gets up on Sunday morning and goes to a meeting.
That is correct.
You know, or the church gets up and goes to bring the kingdom. So the church is that seed that's sown out there. And so when a person sees himself as becoming that seed in the wheat and the tares, the Bible says that's what where the harvest will come.
Mm.
And it says in that parable of the wheat and the tares that at the same time the enemy will even sow some people as seed to raise up even in the kingdom, which is a radical thought which we haven't got time to fully unpack today. But it actually says in that harvest then, the harvest wasn't, the angels were really not coming to harvest the sons of the kingdom. They were coming to harvest the sons of the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
Said they would be bound up as tares and taken out of the kingdom. And so, you know, one question, I guess, is worth asking for some people at least, is who comes and who goes, who stays, when you really unpackage all those scriptures.
Right.
But the main point is it's the people become the seed.
Right.
And that's what produces the harvest. The word goes forth to get sons. The sons go forth to get the harvest.
Beautiful.
It's not the word that brings the harvest. It's the sons mm-hmm. that bring the harvest. Mm-hmm. That's the way we understand it.
Good.
But not just totally separate those two things, obviously.
Right, right. So your focus for many, many years now has been the kingdom. Been the king and the kingdom. And even though you love the church, but you have not been nearly as church-focused, even though you've planted churches all over the world.
Yeah.
But it's more kingdom-focused. It's the king and the kingdom, and realizing wherever the king is, wherever we are sons of the king, and obviously daughters of the king, that we then would see life, we would see kingdom change in that realm, in that area, because of the reasons you're giving. It's powerful, powerful. Mm. What more would you say about the sons of the kingdom? Anything more, any other revelation you'd have here today on that?
Only to say now, at this part of life for me, that's the joy of life, is working with sons.
Right.
Don't get so much opportunity to work with children to bring them to sonship.
Right.
Many of those now have become sons, but to bring them on to be spiritual fathers and multiply. So when I meet even down in Virginia, a small group of us are sons that I work with there, sometimes in the room there may be 12 or 14 of us, and we could be three or four generations of fathers and sons.
Wow.
And to me, that's, you know, the scripture says, that which I've given you, you've passed on to others, who give on to other faithful men, who give to others also.
That's right.
The four or five generations of moving it forward.
Hi, Larry Kreider here. Before we continue with the episode, I want to announce my new segment, Ask Larry. It premieres in season 3 of the podcast. I want to hear from you. Starting next season, I'll be answering your leadership questions and covering the leadership topics that you want to hear about. To submit your questions, visit the show notes and click the link below. And as always, thank you for listening. Now, let's get back to the episode. So you're seeing the kingdom as family. You're seeing really the church slash the kingdom as family. And families are made of fathers and mothers, and they're made up of sons and daughters, and it's generational.
Yeah.
And if we understand that, we're no longer going to church meetings, but we're just seeing the kingdom expand around the world because of these relationships God's given us to fathers and sons. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We see that... one of our values in Church of the Nations is the church builds from relationship to structure, not from structure to relationship.
Right.
Because that very rarely works.
That's so,
so
true.
God births family out of which certain structures come. We have a, wasn't our original statement, I'm sure, but we have a little phrase that just says, structures are many, values are few. Mm. Structures change often, values rarely do.
Oh, that's so good. So, that's good leadership stuff there. Could you say that again, please?
Yeah, we just say structures are many, values are few. Structures change often, values rarely do.
So good.
So we can celebrate diversity of church structures and kingdom expressions, whether it's a church in a home or church under a tree or church in a back room or in the fullness of a cathedral.
Right.
Or in a congregational base or a mega or whatever.
Right, right.
The structure doesn't, to us, determine whether it's church or not. Mm. It's a relationship, value, and hearts. Even the values, as a doctor said to us one time, we used to say, you should know us by, we carry the same DNA.
Right.
But he said, you even need more than DNA. You've got to have a value base that holds you together, because he said medically you can have identical twins that are separated at birth, become totally different with the same DNA, but have grown up in two different value bases.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's even more than DNA, it's values as well, you know.
So how does this affect you practically? Like, you lead this movement of churches around the world, you're going through a succession process. How does this understanding of the kingdom affect your future or the future of Church of the Nations?
Yeah, I think it's going to be different in different parts of it, because we've multiplied at every level. So we are made up of five apostolic streams within the one thing of Church of the Nations now, that we call clusters, built on about 25, 30 years ago. We've gone through transition every 10 years through that 40, 50 years. But I think the second or third one was when God spoke to us, was in a prayer meeting in Westminster area in London, in one of the chapels there in the basement, praying for about 5 days. And we asked, how do we build something that can touch the nations and grow across there without ending up like a pyramid with just one man at the top of it? How can we build with a flat top? And we felt, because we was looking, how do we multiply every level, not just churches, business, everything, but how does everything get multiplied, including the top? And we just felt in conversation then with others that were with us as well, that we were to embrace a Hebrew understanding that God originally put into his people, not Hebrew practices or that, not making any statement on that, but just on the way that it operated and that he set it up in family, clan, tribe and nation, how he set his nation up. So we looked at that, what would that mean to us? And we saw, well, a family would be a community of believers, whether whatever the structure of that would be. A church where two or three gather. Certain things needed to be there, you know, but that we outlined. But that would be a family. And then family clan, he put those families into a clan. We use that word, moved it from clan to cluster for some obvious reasons when you live in America. But clan to cluster, which is a cluster of those families that relate to a spiritual father, mother, apostolic connection, alignment, that kind of thing. And then those clusters together make up a tribe, which one of those, a little speck tribe, is called Church of the Nations. Another one around the world is called Dove. There's tribes all around that when you put all those together, you make up the kingdom on earth. And so, and then we put a value in that would always reason from the whole to the part, but then work it out from the part to the whole.
Explain that.
So we try to work it out of saying, how do we reason from the kingdom down to what we are doing as a part of it, and then work it out from there up. So we like to ask the question in an area community, God, what are you doing in the community and how does our little part serve that? Like where I live at the moment, we're very involved in some part of the body of Christ there that's really nothing to do with us in Church of the Nations. God's just opened up a door that we love and serve into. And so it's looking at the big picture and then coming down to us and then working it out to bless the whole. And I think the a good way of just defining that a little bit is many people – and I guess in the very early days of the Jesus revolution, the Jesus people and all of that, we were very much like that. We had an unspoken belief, I think, which was based in pride, obviously, but an unspoken belief that when we got our revelation, Christianity started with us.
It happens in every generation, doesn't it?
It started with us, where now we embrace the wonderful history of how God got us to this place. And we've learned that in the kingdom, God doesn't really move on from, he builds upon. So he's building on line upon line, precept upon precept, layer upon layer. And so that became the way of that. So we, for us, I think if we were to look at something new right now, we, I could give you an illustration of that if you want, a practical illustration, because we're just with the leaders of this just recently out in Australia. Out of a small church in the house there, just 8 or 10 people, a few others have come and gone over a number of years, they took on a kingdom venture of setting up libraries through all the poor areas of a nation called Vanuatu, which is about 3 hours out into the island, made up of many islands off the coast of Australia. They've now put 60 libraries into schools that had nothing. They get it all together in Australia. The shelving, 400 books, every subject. They go in, they identify where God wants them to go and serve, and they've been able to put 60 in so far. I think it was just before COVID when they lockdowns and things where they went. They went into this one headmaster, lovely Christian guy, and he didn't know what they were there for, but they were spying it out to see which is the next school they should put a library in. And he's showing them around just the school, not knowing what they were there for, just as visitors, giving them a tour. And come to the this room that's just got stone and dirt floor and nothing in there at all. And they said to him, "What's this room?" And he said, "That's our library, our school library." And they said, "But there's not one book there." And he just smiled and said, "No, but Jesus said to me, if I would build it, he would bring the rest."
Oh, isn't that great?
And they were there spying it out about putting a whole library in. So now that's got a full library.
So there's a kingdom expression in another nation that came out of a church in a house of 8, 10, 12 people. Is that correct?
Yeah. But they didn't go there saying, in that village, we need to necessarily plant a church.
Right.
They went there to say, how could we bring the kingdom
right
to this village, out of which now there's communities of believers, and there probably were already. So.
Right. So obviously playing churches is important, is in God's heart, but the kingdom is so much bigger than just playing churches.
Bigger.
Right.
Yeah. It's bigger, but obviously it contains it fully.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That is amazing. Anything else on the kingdom, sons of the Lord, sons of the kingdom here? We're out of time soon, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, just I believe it's a very simple story, really. Mm-hmm. God's original intent is his eternal intent. Mm-hmm. And so when he put Adam here on earth, mm-hmm. he gave him the command to establish the kingdom, really.
Right.
That was the command.
Right. Right.
And there were many Adams, if you want to say,
sure.
over the time, a Moses, a Noah, other.
That's right.
Until the only hope that was left was to send one more Adam, and he's known as the last Adam, not
right.
the second Adam. There were others right. that God basically mm-hmm. tried to use, you
right,
know,
right.
and do things with, but then the last Adam. And when he cried out from the cross,
correct.
It is finished.
Mm.
That became a powerful declaration.
Mm.
There were two great calls from heaven about the kingdom. One was in Genesis, after Adam and Eve had the fall,
right.
and Satan became the ruler of the
right,
earth.
Right.
God came back and said, called out, "Adam, where are you?" He knew what tree he was hiding behind.
Sure.
That wasn't the question. He said, "Adam, I put you here to rule and reign. I come back in the cool of the evening to talk with you, and Satan's ruling." A quick paraphrase. Adam, where are you? What are you doing? If God was to look to us on the earth today and say, "What's wrong with America?" He's not going to look and say, "Is it Republicans or Democrats in the White House or in this office or whatever?"
Right, right.
As important as some of that might be, his cry is going to be, "It's a mess, church. Where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you with my kingdom heart to rule and reign?" So when he cried out on the cross then, the second great declaration, "It is finished," the great question to ask is, what was finished?
Mm.
He wasn't just saying, "My sin was finished." He was saying, "Satan, your rule is finished.
Mm-hmm.
Adam is back."
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Adam was back, he needed an Eve like the first one did.
Mm.
So how did God get a bride for the first Adam? Put him to sleep, and out of the closest thing to his heart,
right.
Eve was born.
Right.
How did he get a bride for the second Adam? Put him to sleep, this time on a cross.
Amazing.
And out of the innermost flow, blood and water flowed into a little house in Jerusalem where the formation of Eve was being made.
Mm.
We call it the church.
Mm.
He walked in that day, breathed in them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And Eve was born, and to them he gave to her and said, "I'll be with you always."
Mm.
The Great Commission again, to go and make disciples of
beautiful.
All the nations.
Beautiful.
So to me, that's a summary of what
so
our
good.
Kingdom heart is.
There's so much in your heart, and there's so much more you've only begun to share what you know, realized over the years about the kingdom of God and sons and daughters of the kingdom, all those things. But just a moment, I want you to pray. I believe there's some listening today. Everyone online, the podcast, check out the show notes, more about Church of the Nations, Tony Fitzgerald, and there's more teaching he has available. You can go on his website. There's more teaching he has available on this. Again, you've just scratched the surface of this. But would you pray? Pray for many, I believe, today who are saying, "I really want to have a revelation of this. This is life-changing stuff." And let's just pray for us that God would give us revelation.
Father, we do thank you that you have taken us on a journey, all of us and everyone that's listening to this podcast. And Father, we thank you whether they're just catching up with the news or not. They're on a journey of going from being a child to being a son to being a father or mother, male or female. They're on a journey with you to become like you. And Father, we know that you came to establish a kingdom on earth. We know that you sent Jesus to declare that message. And Father, I pray that you would give revelation to those who, for those many, I believe, that are listening right now that are saying, this podcast is just giving words to what's been happening in my heart, to what I'm thinking about, but haven't been able to put it in the right words. And Father, we don't profess to have all the answers, far from it. But Father, I pray you give them the grace to, as Derek Prince once said, it's like eating fish. Give it all a good chew, spit out the bones and swallow the flesh. But Father, I pray that you would give understanding to each individual that which they need on their journey of life at this stage. And we simply agree with them and pray what you ask us to pray, thy kingdom come, your will be done in each of their lives on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Tony Fitzgerald, thank you for being on the podcast today. For everyone listening, again, check out the show notes. We'll be back next week with more. And on this leadership podcast, we learn these small changes we can make in our lives. It might be ways of thinking. It might be areas of obedience. But small changes we can make that will make a massive difference in our lives and the lives of those we serve. God bless you. See you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.